thought I'd begin by saying a few things about the Paris Accord, responding to Jamie's invitation to begin the process now of refining the document, and then provide an example of what seemed to be the spirit of this document in by briefly showing you the structure of a pilot project I've been working on for the last couple of months. So first, vis-a-vis the document, it's very long. It would be impossible to cover the whole thing now, but I would make the following suggestions. First, it seems to me that it would be enhanced by having up front a statement of core principles, a backbone, an integrating vision that could then be carried through the separate sections. So my candidates for core principles would be the following three propositions. First is innovators should be compensated in proportion to the social value of their creations, both to persuade them to continue to innovate and because they deserve it. Okay, that'd be number one. Number two is innovations are public goods. They can and should be shared widely. Systems for compensating innovators should avoid as much as possible curtailing public access. And then number three would be enabling more people to participate in the processes of innovation leads to more innovation, richer culture, and more fulfilled people. So those seem to me the components, and then I would only thereupon turn to the specific fields, of which there are many covered in the document. So here are some occasional sultry responses on the specific field level. Vis-a-vis access to medicine, I would modify the key principle number four, which concerns the criteria that should guide the allocation of R&D expenditures, to say systems for compensating research and development should address areas of greatest health need, irrespective of the wealth of the victims of disease, taking due account of the needs of those subject to rare ailments. With respect to software, the second area, I would avoid the detail that's in the current document, not just because personally, I'm unpersuaded by a few of the propositions, but because I think immersion in that level of specificity detracts from the power of the thing. And I would instead concentrate on a somewhat higher level. So in the software area, what seemed to me the most prominent propositions are, first, we should be striving for interoperability for application programs, documents, and communication protocols. That's A. B is, we should have no more intellectual property protection than is necessary to provide adequate incentives for innovation. Now, my own personal view of what it's worth on this score is that that entails recognizing and enforcing copyrights in software to the extent they forbid verbatim reproduction of source or object code, but does not require granting either non-literal copying prohibitions under copyright law or patents for software. But that's a very complicated argument about which there's a great deal of contestation, and I'm not sure trying to settle that argument in this accord is sensible. So I would instead leave it at the more general proposition. Finally, in the software area, legal systems should be organized so as to sustain fair competition between various forms of proprietary and free and open source software. We ought to be taking a position, for example, vis-a-vis the SCO litigation, which is an attack on free and open source software, the sort of thing that we should be resisting. Okay, finally, for my purposes anyway, in the recorded music context, the issue that you've been addressing, I would again be a little more general than the current document. I'd suggest the following. Artists deserve to be compensated. The public deserves access to the extraordinary array of entertainment products already available. The public also deserves greater opportunities to participate in creative processes. The combination of copyright law, technological protection measures, and anti-circumvention rules are doing a poor job of reconciling those goals. Accordingly, governments, firms, and individuals should explore alternative compensation regimes that could do a better job. Right, so those are just some illustrations. I'm not meant to be exhaustive of how one might apply the general propositions to specific fields. So with that, I want to turn to this pilot project. So I was meant to talk about briefly this morning, but so I'll try to do this briefly. Okay, so some of you know, a couple of years ago I published a book about the entertainment industry, the last chapter of which advocated a tax and royalty system of the sort that France has so valiantly pioneered, or almost pioneered, and may return to in the near future. And I remain persuaded that that's the best solution to the entertainment industry crisis. But in most jurisdictions, it's not likely that such a system will be established by governments. If it's going to be established, it has to be established through private action. I think this was one of Jenny's main arguments this morning, and I grudgingly agree with it. So in that spirit, I'm the director of the Berkman Center, and at the Berkman Center, we've launched a pilot project to try to build such a system with some money nicely provided by the MacArthur Foundation. And here's what it looks like. So first, I'm going to sketch its structure and then describe how we've been trying to build it, first in China, then Canada, then Brazil, and then Scandinavia. So the structure is as follows. The core is a nonprofit co-op for the exchange of digital recordings of all sorts, which we're going to call, we are currently calling the NOANC Media for reasons I could explain, but it's not important here. Into the co-op are deposited recordings of lots of sorts by content providers, and they are then distributed through access providers, meaning not directly to the public. This is a wholesale system, through access providers to members of the public. The members of the public both get the recordings themselves, content, which they then share through a peer-to-peer system, and they get licenses, the details of which I'll get to in just a second. In addition, NOANC Media licenses independent suppliers of services to distribute in different forms ancillary things, like webcasting, as an example. The members, and then the behavior of the members is tracked. We're building the software now. Turns out it's better to do this at the operating system level rather than the application level, which tracks the frequency with which particular works are being consumed. The members pay their access providers, who in turn pay the co-op, and then that money is distributed 85% to the content owners and 15% to an operating company which runs the whole thing. The operating company in each jurisdiction may be a profit-making enterprise. All right, that's the core. Now, things start getting more complicated when you establish it, so here's one complication. The co-op will be gathering an extraordinary amount of commercially valuable information. If the members are willing to share that information, it can be used as an additional revenue source. All right, that's one complication. Who are these content providers? Well, at the threshold, they are existing copyright owners or intermediaries. They include music publishers, record companies, film studios, trade associations, Creative Commons, and the Internet Archive. Standing behind them all are